We're also joined by Rodan Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hi there, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Giovanni Ferrosi, one of your proposals is to eliminate the state income tax. We know how Republicans held the governor's office here in Rhode Island from 1995 to 2011. The economy was pretty good for most of that time. So if it was really realistic to eliminate or make a major cut in the personal income tax, why didn't it happen then?
Well, I can't speak to, you know, the overall strategy of an administration, but, you know, mine's going to be reliant upon it, because the number one thing for Rhode Island is to create a new economy, to have new industry and therefore have people attracted to the state. And so where you have mass migration right now taking place, you know, anywhere from the Texas and the Floridas to the Idahos of the world, you know, people are going to Boise, Idaho. So you have to understand that we need to be attractive, and the income tax certainly is the most attractive of the bunch. It makes people want to move. Locally, I can't probably even remember how many people just in the last couple of months have told me they're going to New Hampshire.
The vast majority of Rodan's $9 billion budget is tied up in social services and education. So there's not a lot of discretionary spending to cut. Where would you find the money to pay for eliminating the income tax?
So again, we're talking about keeping, you know, when people look at that, they're looking at keeping the budget we have. I'm going to concentrate on cutting spending, period. And so when I introduced the blockchain, technology and the industry itself to Rhode Island, it's going to create private sector opportunities across the board. So therefore, the reduction in actual number of state employees will be reduced dramatically. The cutting of wholesale departments will be removed because they're unnecessary. And then you also have to look at the new ways we educate people. Obviously, the Medicare aspect of it's always the most concerning. And that, therefore, would be the last place that you go look. And you see, however, how to redirect funds to be focused on the right support.
Now, you mean Medicaid, right? Because Medicare is a federal program.
Yes. And thank you for correcting me.
Let's go to a question from Scott.
You know, you say you're going to cut this taxes without being specific about, you know, where we trim state spending. So can you tell me any other state that's actually done this? Because it seems in a lot of states run by Republicans, this happened in Louisiana with Bobby Jindal, happened in Kansas, other states, Oklahoma, where they've cut taxes back, they've had to real problems with state services. Kids only going to school 4 days a week, for instance, in a lot of Oklahoma. And you look at these, and a lot of these states had to then raise other taxes.
Well, again, people are using the old infrastructure. So if I was to sit here and say to you, we're going to keep everything the same and we're just going to cut taxes, then you're right. There would be issues. I'm saying, hey, you know, this shop that used to operate with pen and paper is being computerized. That the way we're ordering these days isn't five guys on a phone call on each side taking orders. We're pushing a button and it's ending up over there and there's processes happening. So in all cases, what I really want to stress is the industry itself. Think of the internet. The blockchain is the new internet. You have to follow it. You have to learn about it. Don't get confused with one company that has one currency on it called Bitcoin. Understand the platforms. And so just infrastructure-wise, when you understand that most of the money being a lot of times collected is to pay for the people or the departments or the buildings that collect it.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about that. And for our listeners who might not know, blockchain is a kind of online digital ledger to record transactions, and it's supposed to be immune from hackers. You say the state can reinvent its technology and its bureaucracy through blockchain and save a lot of money and reduce employment in state government. How would that work? What would be the first steps to integrate blockchain into state government?
So like anything else, you have to commit to a vision, right? And then you have different versions of it. I'm not saying it's the fastest today. 10 years from now, it'll be a lot faster. 5 years from now, there'll be companies to support it, to give you better ways to do it. What I'm saying is you're committing to a new way of moving information. So right now we have a centralized system. If I were to push you a picture of a title to my car, there's no value in that. If I were instead to have that title sitting on a blockchain and it's now decentralized, it's sitting on 75 computers. I'm just using a made up example. That when I send it to Scott and say, hey, I just sold you my car, all the computers on that blockchain have to say, yes, that's the title. for it to be valid. And now once I move it to them, now it has a new code. It's a new, it's got a new hash on it. It's worth whatever value
it is.
This
sounds great, but you know what? 70% just about of the state budget, and you know this from your former service as a state senator, is in just two areas. Aid to education is over $1 billion a year. That goes to the cities and towns to support the schools.
Sure.
And the rest of it, of course, is in social services. And we already see a lot of criticism of the current governor's budget, not giving enough money to developmentally disabled. We know we have problems in DCYF with child care. Medicaid is a huge, huge piece of the budget. We've got older people in nursing homes, and we support them through Medicaid. Now, how are you going to do this without cutting or harming those programs that help a lot of people?
And again, the I've never used this term before, but the four ladder points, I guess, that you brought up, those are the areas money should be going to, right? So those are the areas we should be supporting.
Well, that's where most of our money goes.
But the reality is, on the education side, you need to completely reorganize and redistribute how we actually educate. These things have to be looked at in a macro form. The biggest issue we have, frankly, is the way we speak. We speak at tactical and operational levels without ever going back to the strategic. I'm telling you, my life changed when I went to US CENTCOM. It's been changed forever, and I know how to implement strategic vision. I've done it at Alex and Donnie, building a $1 billion company, employing 4,000 people in the state of Rhode Island. I know what I'm doing.
Where do you stand on whether or not to legalize marijuana and tax it like alcohol?
I'm all for anything that's inevitable. That needs to just move fast and get out of the way.
Wondering, the Pawtucket Red Sox deal that the Senate has passed, how do you feel about that?
I'm not one for supporting a private entity with tax dollars other than infrastructure, obviously, on roads or anything else that you would do anyway. I'm really concerned about the retail aspects of that deal. You know, retail is a fading investment. Retail footprints are not where you should be putting money or relying on to look at your model. We have, millions, I think it's 3 million square feet for sale in the state of Rhode Island, another 1.5 million for lease. You just got to be very careful, Amazon has completely torn that thing upside down, and we need to be very mature about what we're trying to do here.
If you were to come into office as governor in 2019, what would you do differently from Governor Raimondo in responding to the situation we have with UHIP, the state's IT system for human service benefits?
Yeah, so I believe strongly in what's called an operational pause. You hear all the dialogue from people who say, just go back to the pen and paper to whatever else, right? Well, listen, again, I'm a combat veteran, somebody who's seen, things happen. I understand that for a period of time in Iraq, we were getting, demolished. We were losing people just on the way to the green zone, just from IEDs. We needed an operational pause. We needed to design a new vehicle to be able to deal with it. And then we surged. And so my answer is very simple. You stop what you're doing. You bring in the professionals to make sure the architecture is right. The business rules are right. I happen to have those professionals. They advise me, and I know I'll be able to fix it.
We're out of time, so we need to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And Republican Rhode Island gubernatorial candidate Giovanni Ferosi.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.